Today on Real Radio.
Christian, single Christian, today you say right now, Lord, from this moment on, I right now dedicate my time to you and every opportunity you bring into my life. Lord, slow me down. Listen, I mean this with love, and cause me to stop thinking about me and think more about you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the letter of 1 Corinthians written by the Apostle Paul. In chapter 7, the apostle addresses the various marriage situations among believers, married, unmarried, widowed. As well, Paul takes a look at the advantages and disadvantages of all these situations. Now, in this section we're looking at today, he gets more specific on how our Lord uses the believer who is unmarried. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Wise Relationships for the Last Days.
And they often think that, well, I'll go to the singles ministry to find a mate so I don't have to go to the singles minister anymore. No. The singles of the church should be a ministry. They should be leading the way. And I want to encourage you this morning. Those of you who raised your hands and you're single, I'm telling you, you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you get a vision from God. Stop, get on your knees, pray, let God speak. And I got to tell you that the greatest ministry that you can do regarding singles in the body of Christ is get a vision for what God wants to do, and people will follow you in that thing. Amen. It's a very important thing. Listen, liberty. There's a prioritizing to do regarding your efforts. He says in verse 26 that it's a present distress. Paul says, listen, I think it's good that at a time like this, that for those of you who are called to be single, to celebrate your singleness, because why? Mark it down, people. There is a present distress. The word in Greek is powerful, and only the Greek or Hebrew language can do this. The word present distress means an age of increasing crises. Paul says, as a believer, and you look around the world, be focused on Jesus, the more and more you see the age and the crises that surround that age. The word is pregnant with meaning because it means an immediate crisis that's dealing with the church at Corinth then, but it goes beyond that, and it goes all the way out to the end of the church age, some 2,000 years later. Are you with me on that? Isn't God's word awesome? Because immediately, just that time statement of distress includes every believer in this house this morning. What a great word that is. Are you single? Yes. Are you living in a time of crisis or distress? Yes. Is it increasing? Yes. So how should I be living? Well, you live your life, Christian, prioritized by the efforts that you have before God. What does that mean? Stop spending your energy, your money, your time, single Christian, on things that don't matter. You're bound for eternity. You're going to heaven with the rest of us. And you ought to lead the way. Go for it. You can do it. It's an exciting time to be single for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this distress, people, we all, by the way, we've all had this in our hearts. When you think about, you know, should we do this or should we do that? Well, you know, it's kind of like, looks like it's crazy times. Maybe we should. And you think and pray about it. Some people would say today, well, you know, that false prophet the other day said the world's coming to an end. Maybe we should call off our wedding. No. You get your marching orders from the Lord, but if God is calling you to be single, listen, understand this, that we're living in troubling times. By the way, this was written in 56 AD. The only gospel that was in circulation prior to 1 Corinthians was the gospel of Mark. Matthew, Luke, and John had not been written yet. You see, why do you bring that up? Because if this was written in 56 AD, and it was, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem had not yet happened. That was in 70 AD. Time of distress was increasing in their day. And so Paul is saying right here that we need to take full advantage. And there's an honest question being asked. What do we do about being single in these last days, Paul, living here in Corinth? And Paul would say, count the cost before you get married. Count the cost. Don't rush into it. Know what God is telling you about marriage. And until he tells you to get married and shows you that this is the one, live boldly with your singleness by the power and by the grace of God. Ephesians 5:15 says, so be careful how you live. This is for married and single person alike. Not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. What a great verse, huh? What a great verse. Liberty, we are to prioritize our efforts in these times of crises. We're to be flexible. Listen, there are advantages and disadvantages to being single, just as there are advantages and disadvantages to being married. Know your place and seek God regarding what he would have you to do. Hopefully, some of these things will be answered this morning. Advantages to being single, Paul is arguing for that. There's the ability for you who are single to be very flexible. That's a wonderful thing. You can adapt quickly to change. Single people can. You can respond to sudden issues, blessings, or catastrophes. In my opinion, when, for example, when Haiti or Japan was struck by those disasters, it's much easier for a single person to take up roots and go help Japan or Haiti. Think about that. But there's a lot of people today, listen, who are single, but they're anchored down as though they were married. They may be anchored to debt, or they may be anchored to, I don't know. I'm not saying cast off restraint. I'm saying be wise and use your singleness to the glory of God. Matthew 6:31, all of us should know this, but if you're single today, commit this to memory. Therefore, do not worry. Don't be anxious. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things do the unbelievers or Gentiles seek for. But your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's your marching orders for all of us, especially the single person today, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own stuff, its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What does that word mean? Exactly what Paul said. Every day has trouble. You've got troubles, I've got troubles, all God's children got troubles. But God's on the throne. Jesus rules and reigns in our hearts, even the single people this morning. You should not be led about by every wind of doctrine, every hype or every thing that's hip or going on. Oh, look, this book says this and this guy said that and this thing. No. You've got the opportunity to be more disciplined and more committed than ever, serving, being used for the glory of God. It's awesome. It's exciting. Seek first the kingdom of God. The Bible says, listen to this counsel, 2 Timothy 3:1. The Bible says, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. We're living in those days. These times will test us, you and I. Our faith will be tested. Our resolve as Christians. By the way, it's all of God's plan. Our doctrine will be tested. Listen, Christian, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. What you believe is called doctrine, and what you should believe is Bible doctrine, not Calvary Chapel doctrine, not Lutheran doctrine, not Catholic doctrine, not Assembly of God doctrine, Bible doctrine. The word doctrine is teachings. Know what the Bible says. Don't go around quoting your church. And whatever you do, don't go around quoting me or your priest or wherever you've come from or Billy Graham or the Pope. That has no power. You quote the Bible. When somebody asks you a question or if you have an opinion on something, you say, the Bible says. And I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun because as soon as you say, the Bible says, it immediately puts your opponent or the critic not at odds with you, but at odds with the God in whom they're at odds with. This is very important. Am I yelling? I'm excited about this. This is liberating. To be single, you're liberated and you've been granted the opportunity to prioritize your efforts for the glory of God. We're being confronted in this age with spiritual attacks. And it's time to pray. Personally, I don't want to lay a yoke on you. That is unnecessary, but I think this is applicable. Those of you who are single, you should put us to shame when it comes to prayer meetings. I believe all singles ought to be involved in prayer meetings. Why? Because they can get to them most often. They don't have to tuck the kids into bed or get them out of bed or get to a prayer meeting. Missions. Our mission outreach program should be predominantly single people going on the short-term mission field. 2-week trips with us to any part of the world. Think of that. I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm saying you to give you encouragement to sit there today and say, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to listen to people anymore. I'm going to get up and I'm going to listen to the Word of God. And so how do you prevent from becoming one that misses what God would have in your singleness? 5 things very quickly. Number one, be in the Word of God, the Bible. More Bible. Number one, Bible. Number two, prayer. Give yourself more and more to the attitude of prayer. You know why I say attitude of prayer? Is because though I just endorsed all prayer meetings for the singles to attend, Friday morning, this room should be full of singles that attend this church. Well, okay, listen. What single person, what are you doing at 5:30 in the morning on Friday? What are you doing? Sleeping doesn't count. Sleeping's no good. What is sleeping for? You're practicing death when you're sleeping. And besides that, take a nap or go to bed earlier on Friday night. But I'm going to issue this challenge. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. All singles ought to start attending Friday morning prayer. You say, well, I got to get to work. Swing by and pray and then get to work. That's important. Number three, hang out with more and more godly Christians. And I'm not talking about wimpy Christians. You know, there's a difference. In fact, if you want to change a wimpy Christian into a godly Christian, the wimpy Christian needs to hang out with godly Christians. Don't hang out with people that don't challenge your walk with Jesus. Find a group of Christians that challenges your walk with Jesus. Always hang out with people that are stronger than you are in the faith. That's a secret, my friend, to spiritual growth. Find Christians who are more experienced than you in the faith and hang out with them. You want to know why? Because it rubs off. Hey, listen, that's why being around new believers is a blast for old believers. Old believers are like this. What's that? You guys are new believers? You're going to what? You're going to go feed the homeless? You're going to go witnessing? Wow. Instantly the old believer goes, I remember when I used to do that. And then the Holy Spirit says, yeah, why'd you stop? And the old guy starts to go, so what time are you going to go? 5 a.m. Well, I'm up. I know I'm old. I don't sleep. And all of a sudden the old guy, I'm not talking about the old guy physically. You know what I'm saying? I'm acting it out. It's spiritually. Yeah, I've been a Christian in years. You'll get apathetic and complacent like me. Well, that's wrong. The old believer should see new believers' zeal and faith in Jesus, and the old believer should stand up straighter, get a little spring in their step, and say, I'm coming with you. When your dog's old, what do you do with an old dog? Huh? You buy him a puppy. Why? Your old dog starts doing stuff that he lost his ability to do. Old believers hang out with new believers. In this case, I'm saying that the new believer will give encouragement to the old believer. That young Christian will pump up the old believer. Hang out with them. Number four, be watching and waiting for Jesus' return. Yes, the Bible teaches Jesus could return at any moment, but don't listen to some lunatic that says it's going to happen on May 21st. One thing we knew for sure, Jesus says no man knows the day or the hour, so guess what we knew for sure? We knew that Jesus wasn't going to come back on the 21st. Judgment Day couldn't have happened on the 21st because this guy had to go mouth off about it. Jesus says, no man knows the day or the hour. So be waiting for Jesus always. And then the fifth thing is keep yourself usable to God. Stop letting your fingers and your eyes and your feet and your hands wander into places that doesn't please God. Get out of the clubs. Oh, I have Christian freedom. You don't, listen, you're flirting with bondage, my friend. Well, God's called me to witness in the clubs. Oh, really? What was your past? Before I came to Christ, I was clubbing. God will call someone else to the clubs. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you yield yourself to. Why? Christian, number one thing. Raise your right hand, everybody. If you don't have a right hand, raise your left hand. It'll work. Listen, I just said Christians, raise your hand. So now you are in a whole heap of trouble because God's watching us right now. And we should vow, we have no right to take back with our hand lifted up for us to be able to say, Lord, I commit my entire person to you, body, soul, and spirit. That's why I call myself a Christian. Married or single, doesn't matter. Your hand is raised. You heard me say that. You kept your hand up. You're in big trouble now. You can put your hand down. We easily raise our hands in our singleness or in our married condition and say, well, I'm a Christian. Fantastic. Those things have got to be, no pun intended, married. Our profession and our walk need to be the same thing. And this is vitally important. Matthew 24, 42, as I said, Jesus says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And then, of course, Titus 2, 13 calls the return of Christ the blessed hope. He could have come at any time. Look at verse 29. He says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Number two is time dedicated. We are to dedicate our time and our opportunities to God. Regarding time, that's a time stamp, verse 29. Dedicate your opportunities to God. And I believe this. I'm not kidding. I believe this with all my heart. My biggest conviction, the number one area in my life where I get convicted is when I lay down at night and I go over the day in my mind, and here's what I have to ask God to forgive me of. Lord, I think now that as I review the day, I was so busy that I missed those two or three opportunities that I now realize, now that I'm laying down thinking, I missed those three opportunities to glorify you today in my life. Christian, single Christian, today you say right now, Lord, from this moment on, I right now dedicate my time to you and every opportunity you bring into my life. Lord, slow me down. Listen, I mean this with love, and cause me to stop thinking about me and think more about you. Does it help you to know that Jesus was single? Well, you know, it's really tough being single. Okay. Talk to Jesus then. He understands that. Now, what does it mean that those who have wives should act as though they have none? That doesn't mean that you bail out on your wife and abandon your kids. That's an idiot thought. You don't do that. It means, listen, and I personally, this is exciting for me, and I have my wife's permission to talk about this because we discussed this yesterday. The verse means time is short. Live your life with God's opportunities in mind. Keeping this in mind, number one, marriage is for this world and this world only. What? I was told that we're going to be married forever. Now, remember it says, to death do you part. You know why it says that? Because the Bible says in heaven, Jesus said it. Jesus says in heaven, Matthew 22, 30, that in the resurrection, no one's married. We will be just like the angels. Angels aren't married. By the way, read the fine print. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. You know what's cool about that verse? This is cool. Angels are not married. We will be in heaven, not married. I know that the Mormon church teaches that you will be in heaven married forever. That's not biblical. Jesus never said that. The Bible says no to that. So check this out. Angels aren't married, we will be like angels regarding that situation in heaven. You know what's weird? Well, that's cool. We will be resurrected, which means, are you a male or a female right now? You're going to be resurrected, you, but not given in marriage. That's trippy. Think about it. So what does that mean? We'll be like the angels who are not married. Who are we married to in heaven? Jesus. The Gentile church is married to Christ, or engaged to Jesus, the Bible says. The church. God says, as I said last Wednesday night, that the nation of Israel, the Bible says, is married to God the Father. Very interesting. Dedicate your opportunities to God. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Why? You would say, how come? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? God doesn't share. He's very selfish about your heart and your love. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Dedicate your opportunities to God. Listen, single person, don't dedicate your opportunities to ingest and invest in the things of the flesh. Oh man, I got a weekend. I'm going to go to Vegas. Why? Because I can. Think about it. Are you listening? Okay, I'm going to ask you again. Act like you're listening. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, check this out. A single person, they wake up, for example, on Saturday morning, and they put their hands behind their head, and they go, what am I going to do today? First of all, I've been married 33 years. I haven't had that thought in 33 years. Wake up in the morning, oh my gosh, what am I going to do today? I can do anything I want. What do I want to do? I don't know. What do we want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Freedom. If you take that opportunity and say, for example, oh, I'm going to, you know, it's a 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive to Vegas. I'll just drive on over there and pull some slots. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? You say, look who's crazy. What are you doing? You as a Christian are saying, I'm going to take God's money, God's time, God's person, and go to Satan City. And I know there's Christians that live there, and just pray for them. And I'm gonna blow my time, my energy, my opportunities, I'm gonna blow it. And we have no authority, we have no opportunity that is justified by God to do that. By the way, married people can do that too, but it's a worse sin in my opinion. Shirking the responsibilities of being a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad. This is serious stuff. That's why it's so quiet in here right now. Verse 30 says, those who weep as though they did not weep. This is really tough what he's saying. Watch this, you guys. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Here, single person. I'm single and this is really a... Paul is saying, hey, you know what? Put a sock in it, okay? Stop it. Are you weeping? Stop it. Stop weeping.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 40. Now this is where the Apostle Paul gets a little more specific on how our Lord uses the believer who is unmarried. The title of this study, Wise Relationships for the Last Days. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember, we just wrapped up a multi-part series here on Real Radio called God, Marriage, and Divorce. And the calls and online requests for the DVD package are still coming in. So we're excited to offer, for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this 4-part series on DVD. That's right, you heard it. Your gift of any amount. God, Marriage, and Divorce is the name of the DVD series. And remember that your gifts are tax deductible. You can call, click, or write. Just remember to mention it by name, God, Marriage, and Divorce. It's a 4-DVD set. And we think you're going to like it. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button to the right there that says special offer, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all that contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.